believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God, in His goodness, gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We are told in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, these parents and grandparents today bring their children, presenting first themselves and then their child before the Lord our God. Accompanying them in making this commitment are grandparents, and witnessing as well are the children's siblings in our church family today. Parents and grandparents, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Ephesians chapter 6 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." God's instructions are plain. Parents, love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and teach your children to do the same. As you love God, one another, and your children, you will model before these children a wonderful love for God that your child will want for himself. I'm going to ask our families if they would stand now and face our congregation, if they would just step forward. We'll introduce them to you this morning. On my far right, you know Mark and Gretel, and this is their little one, Addison. And she was born a little while ago, and she's a happy little one. And I always, on the track and field day, all the kids were out running track, and I went in the nursery and wrestled with all the babies for about 20 minutes. That was a lot of fun. And right beside Gretel, this is Courtney. And Courtney just accepted Christ as her Savior just a few weeks ago, and already wants to make a decision that you would partner with her and pray with her and help her to be a blessing in raising her child. And so we can do that for her, can't we? We can pray for her and uphold her before the Lord. I think this is a good decision for a new Christian to say, "I want to give my child to the Lord." And then we know this next one here, the Weidrich family, and little Eva. And then down here is John and Ruth Coburn. And John and Ruth started coming about the time of the HELP program last year. They ride our Delhi bus, and you've seen them around. They're here every Wednesday night. They have two other children. They're in our WANA program. And then John and Ruth, you see them in our services all the time too. But I'm glad you get to meet them today. And this is our little guy, John Ross. And he's not used to being in the church service yet, and he's a little nervous. And then down here is Lena. And Lena saw that we had put in our bulletin. She's been coming to our church for about the same length of time as the Coburns, for about almost a year now. And she saw in the bulletin that we were dedicating babies, and she said, "Could I dedicate my grandchildren to the Lord? They need prayer as well." And I think that's a wonderful thing. And she's saddled with the responsibility of bringing these young people to church and being a help and a blessing to them. And she just wants to be a good grandma and teach them the scriptures and how to live before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are our families today as we dedicate each of these children unto the Lord. And so I'm going to ask the parents some things here today, and I'm going to ask you to answer with "we do." Parents and grandparents, by coming forward before God and His people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your children to the Lord? If so, respond by saying, "We do." Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you, parents and grandparents, vow by God's help and in partnership with Bethel Baptist Church to provide your child a Christian home of love and peace, to raise him in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord? If so, answer, "We do." Modeling this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires the help of others. God has given you this church family to set before your child an example of Christ-likeness. So I direct my questions now to Bethel Baptist Church. By being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be the children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do." Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you today. so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you vow, as God, with God's help, to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help these parents and grandparents be faithful to God, to help teach and train their children in the ways of the Lord, so that he might one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." We do. I hope you take that very seriously. You understand that these parents are asking for your help today. They're asking that you would pray for their children. Every Sunday, they will drop these children off. Some of them will get a little older first. They'll drop them off at a Sunday school class. And they're asking you to teach them the things of God. They're trusting you to pray for them and love them. And they're asking that you would pray for them as well, that they'd make good decisions. For some of them, it's the first child they've had. And they're asking for God's wisdom and strength in raising each one of them. Would you pray with them to that end? Well, let's have a prayer of dedication at this time. And I usually like to go down and hold the babies, but my arms are not long enough. And so we're just going to pray from right up here, and then I'll come down and present them with a little plaque and a certificate to remind them of the commitment they made before the Lord today and before God's people. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for these parents today that have a desire to raise their children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, we're reminded that children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is your reward. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to cherish these young people. Help us to love them enough that we would discipline them when they need it. Help us to love them enough that we would take them to church. Help us to love them enough that we would pray for them and faithfully share the gospel with them. We pray that each one of these six children standing before us this morning, or these seven children before us this morning, we pray, Lord, that each one of them would accept Jesus Christ at a young age. Father, Lord, that they would give their lives to thee. As we see Hannah dedicating her child Samuel, Lord, may we see the same results in the lives of these young people, that they would live a life in service to Jesus Christ. Father, bless each one of these folks. Give them great wisdom. We are living in a day and age of great opposition. It is difficult today to raise children with all the influences around us. But Lord, would you build a hedge of protection around each one of them? Would you allow them, Lord, to hear the word of God and allow it to penetrate their hearts? And Father, may that seed find good ground, that it might blossom and grow. And Lord, we might see these young people grow into fine Christian leaders. Father, bless each parent. Give them wisdom, Lord, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a plaque for each one of you today to remind you of your commitment. This is for Justice Reed. Justice. You know this means your grandma loves you very much. You understand that? Good. Tisha? Oh, well, let's see what's next here. John Ross, Dawson Colburn. There you go. God bless you. And Tisha, here you go. You remind Grandma of that sometimes, right? Amen. All right. If I can get behind you, Brother John. All right. I never mentioned this little fellow's name's Riley. I forgot to mention his name. We'll get that for you. And there you go. Any more hands? All right. And Eva Grace Wiedrich. There you go. And little Addison Lissette. There you go. All right. God bless you, folks. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's have our Bibles ready. We're going to have our scripture reading at this time. Thank you, folks.
Okay. Would you please stand for the scripture reading, please? And turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. And we'll read responsibly verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Beginning on verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that when we're tested, you do cause us to triumph through our faithfulness to you. Lord, you help us through our adversities and the frailties of our flesh. And Lord, we thank you for that, that we can count on you to fill each of our needs, beginning with salvation itself. Lord, now as we approach the preaching portion of this ministry, we pray for our pastor, for Holy Spirit power upon him, for ourselves too, Lord, that you prepare our hearts that we may receive your word and gladly share it with others. Thank you for loving us, and we thank you, Lord, for these children that were dedicated this morning. Help us, Lord, as a church to stand behind those families and to take our responsibility seriously. In your precious name we ask, amen. Please be seated. We'll now have Jennifer Holmes do a special for us.
Seek to live my life that I may learn. Well, thank you to the Holmes family for being part of our service today. We appreciate you being here and sharing with us about Camp Yes, and we appreciate that song. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15 this morning. Would you pray for them? They just came up to visit. Brother Holmes has a sister that lives in Renton, and she has spinal bifida. Just had surgery recently, and so they came up to visit with her and spend some time with her. So they're popped by us, and tonight you'll have to really pray for them. They're going to stop by and see Brother Stone on the way back. And so we're trying to get them all spiritual strengthened up here this morning first, and so they can endure that testing. Good to have the rest of our college students home. And I haven't seen Paul and Melanie yet, but they're lurking around somewhere, and Grace is here. Mom and Dad drove down to get her, and I don't know if they drove down to get her or to meet a young man. I don't know. Mrs. Bennett says she really likes him. Brother Bennett says, I put the fear of God in him. Amen. I'm proud of you, brother. You need to do that. Amen. That's good. But let's pray for our young people. They're getting to that age, and God's going to, we're praying. Here's what you need to pray, that this young man, if he has any character at all, will come back to Canada. Amen. So let's pray about that. Amen. I think Mom would like that too. Probably. Sure. Matthew chapter 15. We have our friend day just 2 weeks from today. You will find out on the table. There's some invitations there. If you'd like to take one of those, invite your friends. Just invite them to your neighbors. It's called Summit Sunday. That has to do with our I Want That Mountain program our kids are in right now. But it's just a friend day. Just bring your friends. And we are having some barbecue and things after. Just be some hot dogs and salads and things like that. And we'll just enjoy some fellowship after. So bring them and we'll have a great time together. Matthew chapter 15. Let me direct your attention, if you will, to verse 21. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered, Senator, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful again for your love for us. Glad to see our college students home. Thank you for bringing them back safely. And we pray, Lord, that you'd use them for your honor and glory. Father, we pray that you'd bless our time together in your word. We pray that you'd challenge us from the life of this mother who had great faith. This lady who loved her daughter so much, she just had to get her to Jesus. Father, we pray that you'd help us to learn some principles today and apply them to our lives. But if we are to learn, we're going to need your Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives. So I pray that you'd help us. Fill me, I pray, I surrender to thee. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting as we look at the scriptures this morning, this woman of Canaan. She was not a follower of Christ. She was not even likely a Jewish lady. She was a Canaanite. She was one that was outside the covenant of Israel. But something in her heart said, I know that I can cry out to Jesus. Something in her heart said that she knew that she could go to Jesus Christ, the Son of David. She identified him by his Jewish title. She was saying, I know that I'm outside the covenant, but they'll welcome me in. But she, you know, her hopes were kind of dashed a little bit, I think. The disciples were very unkind. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't answer her at the first. And when he did answer her, it seemed like he was pushing her away. But I want to show you this morning, I believe he was just simply testing her faith. Do you know that a faith that cannot be tested is not a faith that is not worth having? And yet this woman's faith was tested time and time again, but she was persistent because she loved her daughter. Isn't it interesting that we will do more for our children than we will for anybody else? Those that we have a love for, those that we care for deeply, are those that we will go the extra mile and push the limits, if you will, just so that we can see God work in their lives. I want to encourage our young people to understand today that if you have a godly mother and a godly father, you need to be thankful for that. You need to be thankful for those that pray for you and love you and encourage you and yes, even when they discipline you and when they say no to you. A lot of times I've noticed that children are very happy until you use the word no. It's interesting that even the little ones learn no real early. On Thursdays, my wife babysits. She has Harmony come over. Harmony, the home wrecker. And I pop in at lunch, and there are things everywhere. And as my wife's trying to clean up one, she's wrecking three other things. She just goes. It's so much fun, you know? And she's happy, and she's squealing, and she's laughing, and she's throwing things in the air and having a good time, and she's talking to you and all kinds of things, just babbling, you know? And then you look at her, and if you ever say no, it changes so quick. I mean, just instantly, just anger, frustration. Pastor Walsh is just like that. She comes by it honestly. But every child that is disciplined ought to be thankful for that discipline. It's because your parents love you that they discipline you. I want you to notice a woman today of an extraordinary character. A woman that loved her child so much, she said, "The best thing I can do for my child is take her to Jesus." The Bible says in verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." I want you to notice, first of all, this mother's trouble. Do you know that the trouble of a child is the trouble of the mother? The trouble of a child is the trouble of the mother. I want you to notice that the lady, when she came to Jesus Christ, she said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on who? Me." Oh, wait a minute, you're not the one that was grievously vexed with the devil. She was not the one that was biting her tongue and frothing at the mouth and out of her mind with confusion because she was infested with demons. She was not the one, and yet she said, "Lord, have mercy on me." Later on in verse 25, you'll find that the woman cries out to Jesus again, and she says, "Lord, help me." I want you to know that when a child has trouble, the parent has trouble as well. And because this little girl was so grievously vexed with this evil spirit in her life, the mother felt it as if it was her own burden. I mean, I'm not here to preach to the young people. I'm trying to help mothers today, but young people, you understand that your parents are burdened when you're in trouble. It hurts them. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't give a nickel for a mother that isn't concerned when her child's in trouble. I wouldn't give a nickel for a parent. If I talk to some people and they're having problems with their kids and they come and they talk to me, I say, "Listen, I'm so sorry about your child." And they say, "Ah, you know, it's no big deal. That bothers me." And it does happen, by the way, quite regularly. But when somebody looks me in the eye and says, "Would you go talk to them? Would you go see them? Would you pray for them? Would you do something for them?" I'm encouraged in my heart because a child's trouble is a mother's trouble. We are also afflicted. And we also cry out, "Lord, help me." The burden of this child was so great upon the mother, she too felt afflicted. To help the child was to help her. To see the burden of her child lifted would lift a weight off her shoulders. Yeah, I can attest to that. If our children are going through difficult times, when they're struggling with something, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of tears shed. There's times my wife and I stay up at night and we pray together and it burdens our heart. But when things begin to change and God begins to work in their lives, it's like a weight has been lifted. I'll tell you the truth. It doesn't take much for us to get down like that. We are so concerned that our children do right. We are so concerned that they turn out to serve the Lord and that they love the Lord that even the smallest step in the wrong direction bothers us greatly. I want to tell you, mothers this morning, and fathers, listen in. When your children aren't walking right, it ought to burden your heart. It ought to force you to the Lord. It ought to get you on your knees. It ought to start you crying out unto the Lord, "Help me." If you were to read Moses' prayer, out of context, you would think he was praying for himself, but he wasn't at all. He was praying for Israel. I'm talking about intercessory prayer this morning. I'm talking about this mother that came and cried out unto the Lord on behalf of another. Friends, Moses cried on behalf of another. Paul wished himself. He says, Lord, curse me that Israel might be saved. We need to have a love for others like that. And a concern for others to the point that their trouble is a trouble upon ourselves. The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens, but there's no greater burden than that of a child. Then I want you to see the mother's testing. In verse 23, she came in all sincerity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. The test of silence. You ever had that from the Lord? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and then you listen and don't hear a thing. It's a test. It's a test. You know, there's a lot of answers to prayer. You say, well, if you just pray, the Lord promised he'd answer your prayer. Do you know that no is an answer? I think sometimes the answer we get is, just wait a little bit. Something better is coming around the corner. This woman was tested with silence. She cried out unto the Lord, and he answered her not a word. You know, sometimes it's the Lord's way to test and establish our faith. As you pray for your children, as you hold them up before the Lord, you sometimes get up from your knees and you expect that instantly you'll go down to where your children are and they'll be instantly changed. There'll be halos floating around their head. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you the Lord likes to test our faith at times. This woman began to plead with Jesus, and he just stood there. If you ask me, it seems so out of character for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says he answered her not a word. Do you know the Lord likes to test by doing different things? With the blind man, he simply could have said, be healed, but he chose to make clay with spittle and put it upon his eyes and tell him to wash in the pool of Siloam. He tested his faith. He could have simply... With Mary and Martha, he could have run to Lazarus and healed him, but no, he waited 4 days, and he tested their faith. I believe the Lord Jesus was testing this mother's faith as he said not a word. Sometimes we have to be patient. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is patience. It's the Lord saying, I'm not ready to give an answer yet. You need to ride through this storm just a little bit longer. It may mean things will get worse before they ever get better. The Lord is testing your faith. He answered her not a word. He said, why would he do that? I believe he wanted to see her reaction. I believe as I read this passage, and I'll show you in a moment, I don't believe he was testing the lady so much as he was testing the disciples. He answered her not a word, and the disciples immediately came and said, Lord, would you send her away? She crieth unto us. Can I translate that? This woman's a nag. She won't leave us alone. She's come around to every one of us and saying, will you go to Jesus for me? He didn't answer me. He didn't hear. Would you pray for me? Lord, we're just getting tired of it. Would you send her away? He tested her with his silence, and he tested her with the discourtesy of the disciples. Between the silence of the Lord and the surliness of the disciples, her faith was severely tested. Many of us would have walked away empty-handed. Many of us would have said, no, you know what, Lord, if you're not going to answer this prayer, I guess my children can just do whatever they want. There's no hope. This woman didn't give up. The Lord didn't answer her. The disciples were discourteous. And then the Lord, it even seemed like he refused her. In verse 24, the Bible says, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was saying, you're not a Jew. You're a Canaanite. He says, I've come to reach Israel. I've come to reach the Jew first. He says, you're not part of that covenant. What are you doing talking to me? You see what her reaction was? The Bible says she worshiped him. Fell on her face before him. Now let me ask you something. Is it in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, from what you know of Scripture, for him to turn away anybody? Never. Was he ever to the point where saying, no, you can't be saved. You don't deserve it. Do you ever remember that written in Scripture anywhere? Never. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all lost. We're all sinners. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. This is so against his character. The Bible, as it says, he said to her, he says, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm here to tell you, I don't believe it was a lesson for the woman. I believe it was a lesson for those disciples. He was showing them, listen, the gospel is for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But this woman, if she had any less character, would have went home crying. But she didn't. Look what she did in her persistence. The Bible says she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I want you to notice as he continues on, it almost seems like he insults her. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. If I can go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, he had come first to the lost house of Israel. He had come to establish his kingdom, but was rejected of man. He had come, and the plan was, of course, the people were looking for their Messiah. They were looking for a conquering hero, and the Lord Jesus Christ fit that bill. But instead, the people rejected him, and they crucified him, and it opened up the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. And he says to this woman, while still on his mission, before the cross of Calvary, I've come to the Jew, not the Canaanite. It's not meet that we take the food, the children's food that sit at the master's table, and cast it to the dogs. That would feel hurtful, wouldn't it? Unkind, it seems. But again, remember, he's testing. He's testing. He's testing. He's asking this woman, in effect, do you really want in? Do you really want in? You're over here right now. You're outside the covenant. You're a Canaanite, not a Jew. I'm coming to the lost house of Israel. He says, you're not sitting at the master's table right now. Do you really want to sit at the master's table? She fell at his feet and she worshiped him. She said, Lord, help me. You know, the true mark of a parent is one that says, you won't keep my children from Jesus. Nothing's going to stop me. I will get the help they need, and the help that they need is Jesus Christ. I understand that this young lady had a spiritual problem. That's what her problem was. She was vexed with spirits. The Bible says she was tormented with the devil. Her problem was a spiritual one, and this woman decided the doctors aren't going to help with this. The psychologists aren't going to help with this. Dr. Phil's not going to help with this. The only person who can help with this is Jesus, and I will not take no for an answer. I'm getting my child to Jesus Christ. I was talking a few years ago with a friend of mine, you know Pastor Holland, Mike Holland, and he was homeschooling, and we were homeschooling, and we were shooting stuff back and forth to each other and asking questions, and Brother Mike had worked at the Becca publishing place, so he knew all about this curriculum and things, and so we were talking about that. And I said, do you find that the different courses are suitable, and do you think the math is strong enough? And and we were going through all these things, and he said this. He says, if my children can learn to read their Bible and love Jesus, he says, I think the curriculum's just fine. Do you get that, parents? What he was saying is, yeah, those other things are important. To succeed in this life, you need to have education. But the most important thing you can teach your child is to read their Bible and love Jesus. That stuck with me for all these years. That was years ago we talked about that. It was profound. This mother right here, she knew the most important thing she could do is get her daughter to Jesus Christ. Jesus, can you help? Jesus, help! Lord, help me. You see, what are the principles we get here today? The principles are these. We need some mothers who will bring their cares and troubles to the Master. I can't imagine, I look at my children today, and I think of these children that we just dedicated to the Lord this morning, and I think, what a battle they're going to have. We're only just a few years ahead of you. Our youngest just turned 9. We're not that far removed. And parents and grandparents look at us and say, boy, you must have a battle raising your kids today. All the influences out there, all the stuff that we see every day and the things that we hear and the things that influence our hearts and our lives, it must be a real battle. It is. But those battles are spiritual battles, and they can only be won on our knees. Parents, pray. You know, I appreciate anybody that comes and says, Pastor, would you pray for my kid? Let me say this. Don't you ask me to pray unless you're praying already. I'm not opposed to praying. I'll pray. I'm glad to pray. But why don't you pray? God has entrusted them to you. God has given you the responsibility to pray. You see, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else I can do. You can still pray. You don't have to give up. This woman just kept beseeching Jesus and going after, and it seems like that didn't work, so she went and bugged all the disciples. She says, I got to get to Jesus. My child needs the Lord. And then we see a mother's triumph today. We saw first her trouble, we saw her testing, and we see her triumph. The words of Christ were meant to test not only her faith, but also her humility. She took her place wherever Christ put her. He says, it's not meat that we take meat from the Master's table and cast it under the dogs. And she says, oh, but even the dogs get a crumb once in a while. Go ahead and call me what you will. I can be a dog. I can be whatever you want. I just need Jesus Christ. She was humble, wasn't she? Her humility before the Lord won the victory. And as she said those words, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She took her place wherever Christ would assign her, that she might find the help that she looked for. And friends, I want you to notice, she received more than she asked for. What did she ask for? She says, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. In verse 25, she said, worshiped him. She said, Lord, help me. And then the Bible says in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. Perfect. He didn't just cast out a devil. He didn't just rebuke that demon. The Bible says he made her whole from that very hour. She says, Lord, would you help me? Maybe in her mind she was thinking he could soothe the situation. Maybe she was thinking that somehow the Lord could heal her over a length of time, but instantly she was whole from that hour. The Lord can do so much more than you think and ask. But we just simply need to humble ourselves before the Lord and pray. I want you to notice what she was praised for. She wasn't praised for her love of her child, but she loved her child. She wasn't praised for her compassion. She wasn't praised for the care that she gave. She was praised for her faith. Her faith. What kind of faith do you have as parents? Raising children is probably the most difficult job in the world. I would guess so. I know I haven't done a lot of other jobs, but I think raising children is the most difficult. It can also be the most rewarding. But you have to have faith. You have to trust the Lord. You have to be a person of prayer. Teach your children to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, and mind. We need mothers and fathers that will bring their cares and troubles to the Master. We need a perseverance in our faith. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot endure. We need some perseverance. Don't give up. I ran into a mom the other day. I was picking up some groceries and getting some soda pop for the track and field. And she said, would you go see my son? Would you pray for him? And the tears in her eyes told me she hasn't given up. Praise the Lord. We need some endurance. We need some faith. we need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can answer our prayers. Listen, silence is not refusal. If you don't hear right away, keep praying. The Bible talks about prayer and it says because of our importunity. That means we just keep asking and asking and asking. God will eventually hear our cries. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I take that as a promise. It doesn't mean he won't depart from it when he's a teenager. He won't depart from it when he's a young man. The Bible says when he is old. We have the promise of God that when we instill things in their heart that are biblical and spiritual, when they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll come back. Keep praying and see what God will do. Let me close with this poem this morning. I think oft times as the night draws nigh of an old house on the hill where the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hustling the merry din, mother would ask, look around and ask, are all the children in? 'Tis many and many a year since then, and the old house on the hill no longer echoes to childish feet, and the yard is still so still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, and though many the years have been since then, I can hear my mother ask, are all the children in? I wonder if when the shadows fall on the last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired with our childish play, when we step out into that other land where mother so long has been, will we hear her ask, just as of old, are all the children in? The number one concern of any parent, and I'll close with this, is the salvation of their children. You see, why did this woman come to Jesus Christ? Because her child had a spiritual problem that only Jesus could fix. Do you know that every one of our children have a spiritual problem that only Jesus can fix? They're all sinners, just like anybody else. I want to encourage the parents today. I know it's Mother's Day, so I say moms, but I mean moms and dads. Pray for the salvation of your children. It ought to be the number one concern in your life. If they're not saved, they're not going to live right in anything else they do. They must know Jesus Christ. I'm going to challenge moms and dads today and grandparents as well. Lift up your children before the Lord. Pray for them. Encourage them to follow after what is right. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, as we consider our role as parents and grandparents here today, Father, what a great responsibility has been given. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to follow you and serve you with all of our hearts. And Lord, and pass that faith onto our children, a faith that says only Jesus Christ can pay the price for our sins. Help us, Lord, we pray in this invitation time. Help us to know that wisdom we need to be the kind of parents we should be. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the instruments play. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other parents here today that, though your children are older, maybe teenagers even, you say, I need to dedicate them to the Lord. I need to come and ask God to take their lives and use them for whatever they want. Maybe there's somebody here today say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? Is there one? I won't embarrass you. I won't call it your name. I know it wasn't necessarily a salvation message, but maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart for some time now. Is there one? Say, preacher, if I were to die right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Let's make sure we're right with the Lord. We'll have somebody take a Bible and show you what it means to have eternal life. Is there one? Brother Baker's going to sing the first verse of that song. If God has spoke to your heart, you step out and come.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Like thine can peace afford.
Join them on the chorus.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
be seated. Thank you so much for being here. Lord bless you today. We pray that you'll be able to come back tonight, and we'll have another great time together in the house of the Lord. Our men are going to come and close our service with a word of prayer and some announcements. Before they do, I'd like you to be reminded to stop by the table for Camp Yes, and there's lots of things there that you can be involved in and pray for and be a help to them. Pick up a prayer card and meet the Holmeses. I'm going to ask you folks if you'll make your way over.